Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation recorded live during the May 2023 Youth Education Conference held in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania.
So my name is Nathan Folk, Nate Folk, and I'm talking about humility today, how to develop humility within ourselves. The fact that you're here tells me a lot about you. No, I'm just kidding. But it tells me that your parents told you that you needed to attend this class, or that you sincerely are just curious as to what on earth someone who's like 8 years older than you thinks about humility. Yeah, what on earth humility is. So just a few kind of ground rules, maybe not the best way to say it, but whenever a question is asked, I'm just going to repeat the question because I'm wearing a fancy-dancy microphone and it's being recorded so that people who are listening to it later, they'll know what the question is. I also have a bowl of candy. I'm very subtle about this and about what this means. And what this means, you should know what this means. Yes? That's an excellent question. That's a great way to get started. I have here whatever I didn't nervously eat last night while getting nervous about this talk. We have Twix, we have Snickers, we have Milky Ways, we have, you know, if your breath smells, we have these, what are these called? Lifesaver mints, and Starburst. I think that's it. That's not a bad assortment. Well said. Oh, Midnight Milky Way as well.
Mine, I call it.
So, okay, great. If you're a dark chocolate fan, just say it before, you know, I throw it to you. Great, okay. I think we've covered everything. Next slide. I'll just look at you. Okay, this is my wife, by the way, in case you think I'm like, wow, she's so rude to her. No, we're just really friendly. Okay, so right off the bat, we're going to do some definitions. Like Corey said, I'm a PhD candidate in physics, so I'm mathematically inclined. And in math, the way we start something is you start with definitions. My favorite math professor walked into the class with chalk all over his pants, and he said, "Is this math 313?" And we said, "Uh-huh." And he walked to the board and wrote, "Definition," and like didn't say hello or anything. It was just like, he's like, "We just start with definitions." So we just want to be clear about what we're talking about here so we don't talk past each other. When we talk about humility, and we'll get into more detail about this later, but humility at the base just means like a correct understanding of who you are, who God is, and who your brothers and sisters are. It does not mean putting yourself down. So here's a great example of what humility is not like. This is not what we mean when we use the word humility. We say, "I just need to remember that I'm nothing special. Humility is a virtue." That's not what this class is about. If you're here to find out that you're nothing special, I recommend not coming to this class. also, pride. Pride is a word that has kind of been appropriated by language, and it kind of means a lot of things, and some of them are good and some of them are bad. So for example, being proud of something or proud of someone that you love and care about, that's different from what we're going to be talking about today. So I like to differentiate between humility and humiliation, and the difference between being proud and being prideful, or full of pride. And hopefully that makes sense. Is there a word? What's the word?
Banana.
Banana, okay. Are we serious? Are we sticking with banana? Okay. Okay, so this is humility as a picture. So I think this is pretty straightforward. I can pretty much end my talk now. But I'm not going to, because I signed up for 50 minutes, and you guys are going to get 50 minutes, darn it. We're going to talk. But this is just a simple diagram. In physics, we call this a two-level diagram. And we have God up there, and we're down here, and our neighbor is also down here. And this sums it all up. You can sum up this whole picture, banana, by breaking it up into two parts. We gotta think of a new word. Does anyone have any suggestions for words?
Autodidact.
Please, that's a little hard. Please, sweetie.
I want a new nickname every time. Please, honey.
Okay.
Twix.
I just want you to beg.
Twix? Are you asking for one, or is that the suggested word?
That's
That's the new word.
I'll respond to
Twix. That's okay. I like that. Okay. So do you like Twix?
Yeah.
Great. Completely uncalled for. For transcription purposes, my wife just stole the candy. So you can break up that original picture into two parts. And if you can get these two parts right, then you have the whole picture right. Because, like, that's how geometry works. So if you can just get the relationship between God and you right, and the relationship between you and someone else right, then you've done it all. You understand humility. You are humble. Congratulations. But you're not allowed to be proud of being humble, because then we start getting into, like, you know, circular reasoning. Just kidding. So, and I think this goes well with the two great commandments in the law, which, as Jesus said, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, might, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. So, Twix, let's break it down. You know, there's a lot of times that we joke, or at least I joke in the church, that, like, whenever you go to a talk by President Oaks or something, he's always like, I'm going to talk about, patience. Number one. And he has, like, 7 points. So I'm going to do the same thing. We have, like, 5 points. And we're going to be very ordered and organized here. So I broke down the way you can mess up that picture into 5 different ways. There's different ways you can mess it up. Self-exaltation, self-abasement, a superiority complex and an inferiority complex, and an us versus them mentality. Twix. So we're going to start right off the bat with self-exaltation. So this is diagram number one, where we have God above us. That's what it should be, because he is our Father, and we worship him as the creator of the universe and everything. And instead, we put ourselves up where God is. And that we're going to term self-exaltation. It's not the only way to mess up the picture, but it's a very common way to mess up the picture. I have a quote here from a kind of famous person who said something that is kind of self-exalting.
Hear someone read it in their best lucid voice.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Can I get a volunteer to read our first quote here, if you can read it? Yeah.
Sure, I will do it. Wherefore, give me thine honor.
Nice. I realize I wrote it down wrong. I'm 99% sure the scripture says, surely I will do it. If Moses actually says, sure, I'll do it, then, you know, pretty sure I wrote that wrong, so that's a typo. Any preference? You're okay with, okay, I'll unless you explicitly ask for dark chocolate, I will not be giving dark chocolate. What? All right. Almost. I thought the throw was pretty good, though. All right, yep, Twix. Okay, self-exaltation. Can I get a volunteer to read this first part from True to the Faith? Yes.
To be humble is to recognize gratefully your dependence on the Lord, to understand that you have a constant need for his support. True humility is an acknowledgement that our talents and abilities are gifts from God. It is an indication that we know where our true strength lies.
Thank you. Just a quick question. We're going to have the people who will be listening to this, they'll have the slides, right? Okay, great. I don't have to reread that. Okay, yeah, so that's great. And I think that really well sums it up in terms of what humility is all about, especially with in terms of us and God. I underlined a few key phrases in there. The fact that we have a constant need for his support, and that we know where our true strength lies. A lot of times I boil this one down into a single phrase, which is the phrase that every two-year-old says at any point in their life, which is, I do it myself. And they're like, want to tie their shoes, they want to do something else, and they don't want anyone's help. Gosh darn it. Like, their mom wants to help them, but they insist on doing it themselves. And that is kind of, I think, reflective of what this whole thing is. And then I'll read this next part. And this is a quote, this is a verse from Moroni. It says, but behold, that which is of God inviteth and enticeth to do good continually. Wherefore, everything which inviteth and enticeth to do good and to love God and to serve him is inspired of God. One thing I want to draw attention to, and I'd love to hear some of your thoughts about this, is that it says everything which inviteth and enticeth to do good. That's a really, you know, if you were to draw a Venn diagram over everything, that would be a really big circle. Everything, like, that's a lot of stuff that inviteth and enticeth to do good. And it doesn't just mean churchy things, you know, the things that you're you know, if you have a feeling to pray, that's from God. What are some other things? I'd love to hear some of your thoughts. What are some things that you think you can feel or you can do or you can think that would also come from God? Yeah?
Wanting to do service.
Wanting to do service. Excellent.
Our leader earlier didn't get this
candy. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Any preference?
Oh.
You read, right?
Yes.
Earlier?
Not that one.
Not that one. Great.
Not that one.
You're getting pretty good at the throws here. Don't want to draw too much. Don't want to get too proud. No, I'm just kidding. That's okay. As we've been over.
That was a terrible throw. You know that.
Sorry. So can you repeat your answer and then?
Me?
Yeah.
Okay. Doing service.
Doing service. Yes. Okay. So doing service. That's a great example. Any others? What's something that is good? Name a good thing. It's a pretty easy question. Church. Who said that? Short. Sorry. Yeah.
Growing talents.
What kind of talents? Oh, growing them?
Yeah.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Like playing instruments and singing and drawing.
Thanks for the help. Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah.
Loving.
Starburst, okay?
Oh, the midnight dark.
Oh, you asked for that specifically. I'm so sorry. People just throwing stuff at me. Yeah. Yes, I love that. You guys are giving great answers.
Uplifting literature.
Uplifting literature. So you want to you want to expand on that a little bit? Short. Sorry, I should do overhand.
There are scriptures, but then there are also like the Lord of the Rings. That can
okay.
be uplifting.
There's so let me get this straight. You're saying the Lord of the Rings is inspired by God? Maybe.
Maybe at least a little.
I agree. I'm serious. I'm with you. Everything which inviteth and enticeth to do good is inspired by God. Brigham Young has a great quote where he says, I'm paraphrasing, I don't memorize his quotes. He said something along the lines of, if it's true, Mormonism like has a claim to it. it's ours if it's true, because we are true. The Church of Jesus Christ is true. And so if the scientists find something that's true, it's true in like the Church of Jesus Christ too. I'm going to go to the back because I've been biasing the front. Yeah, purple, yes. Sorry. A lot of purple.
Family history.
Family history. Man, the second I said I'm good at throwing, it's not working. Yes. Yep.
Okay. Serving your mother, even if it's not your mother's name.
Okay.
You get dark if you have it.
There we go. Yes, that's true. That's true.
You have that dark child with your mom, right?
Gosh. Overcorrected. All right, we're gonna keep going. There's gonna be lots of opportunities for candy. So if you're just like, man, I really just wanted some candy, we got, you know, this is like slide 4 of 16 or something. Okay, these are some verses from 2 Nephi. They're a little small. Can I get a reader? Yes.
I will punish the king of the stout heart of the king of Syria, which he saith, by the strength of my hand, by my wisdom, I have done these things. I am prudent, and I have made the Lord in the Shall the axe both itself against him that heweth therewith? Shall the saw magnify itself against him that shaketh it? As if the rod should shake itself against them that lift it up? Or as if the staff should lift up itself as if it were no wood?
Great. I love that. Sorry, I have a lot of starburst, so people are going to get starburst for a little bit. Can I get an interpretation? What on earth does that mean? It's 2 Nephi, so I know it's a little, you know, things are a little weird. I think these are the Isaiah chapters.
I'm basically just saying, why should you be so proud of something that you can't even do it?
Yes.
The saw cannot saw without someone sawing.
Exactly. That is a fun sentence. The saw cannot saw without someone sawing it. I love that. We didn't have much dark chocolate. We might actually be out. If I find one later, I'll get it to you. But there's a starburst. And again, terrible throw. Yeah?
I like how it points out with the ox, like a saw. But it points out with things that are naturally... Oxes aren't prideful, usually. I mean, usually they just do the things they do, and they just do it just because...
Yeah.
They do, right? Yeah, they're told to do it, or they're how they're created.
Yeah.
a good example of biblical.
I love that.
Can I have a car?
A what? I don't think I have any more. So Starburst? The shrug. Yeah, so we have axes, we have saws, we have rods, we have staffs. These are all instruments. You know, that's what we are. We are agents. Heavenly Father can't make us do anything, but if he wants to do something, he might prompt us to do it. We might be his hands. We might be his instruments. But that doesn't mean, you know, it'd be like the saw boasting after someone cuts down a tree with it. It's like, oh, I'm so great. I really sawed that tree down. I'm pretty cool. And it's like, you couldn't do anything. You would just be hanging on a shelf forever if it weren't for God. Because he is giving you strength. And it is because of him that you have, he's the source of your strength. Even though you're making a good decision, there's nothing wrong with, like, I think I was afraid of this kind of stuff when I was younger because I would be like, well, that means I'm good for nothing. And it's like, no, it doesn't. You have the coolest thing ever to be an agent, to act, and to not be acted upon. You have free agency. And you get to choose whether you're going to listen to God or whether you're going to listen to the devil. And as you listen to God and as you exercise that agency in a righteous way, righteous power will flow into your life. And just because you're not the source of that spring doesn't mean that you can't do great things. So we're going to have a little case study here where, you know, role play kind of say, I'm David. I say, what about all the effort that I put into my piano playing or my gift of public speaking? That's something that I developed myself. What do you guys think about that?
Effort brings rewards.
Effort brings rewards. You want to expand on that?
Yeah, I mean, God could make you learn how to play piano, do whatever, right?
Right.
Instead, you chose to learn those. You chose to develop those talents, and so you chose.
Yes.
So that's the way you got good.
Yeah.
Well, okay, but on that, the reward of doing that is you now have that skill, and you don't need to be praised for it.
Yeah.
Your reward, instead of just doing it itself, the reward is.
Now you
can do that, you know.
Yeah.
You don't get people to
That's a great example. I love that. The fact that there are natural consequences to making good choices. And it's not just like God told you to do something and you do it and then God says you're a good boy and gives you a reward. It's just that God tells you to do things that are inherently good. And there are inherently good consequences that come from doing these things. And you don't need to get the credit as well. I love that. Yeah.
The thing, adding on to that, part of it is, you know, God is giving you the trust. He has given us agency.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just, you know, the natural, I mean, yes, it is your choice. It mm-hmm. is the natural process of things. But in my mind, I think it's good to see it in the sense of, you know, using the talents that God has given you, because he's given you those things. It's not necessarily... You were saying, let's just develop this and I'll do it on my own.
Exactly.
It's very much
the body to be able to play the piano, he gave you the opportunity to be able to know where a piano was to play it, things like that.
Exactly. He made the piano. I really liked what you said and how, I don't know, in my mind it's almost kind of freeing, you know, to know that, you know, kind of to that two-year-old's example, I can do it myself. It's you don't have to. Like, it's not, you don't have to be that person. God can be that person for you. And you can just choose to let him. Yeah?
For me, I'd say, as Charles Nelson said, God likes effort. He didn't tell Moses to meet him halfway up the mountain. He had to walk all the way up to get the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
So I'd say, similarly, with, like, anything in life, the choice is never the easy choice. So when you decide to develop a talent or to work hard on something, it then also shows that you value what you're doing.
Yeah, you're like telling God your priorities. You're like, this is important to me. You're kind of communicating that to him, sorry. Yeah.
I think you can also differentiate between, like, developing something within yourself and then developing something within yourself.
Yes.
I think that's kind of there, I guess, because it is a flaw.
Yeah, exactly. He like used his agency in a righteous way which is super good, but yes, Twix. That's why I said Twix. Did you forget the keyword?
Forgot keyword already.
Okay, step two. Well, not step two. Don't do these in order. It's a bad idea. Not step two. This is called not step number two. So don't do it. Self-abasement. Abasement, that's not a very common word we use, but it just basically means the opposite of exaltation. To make yourself low. Put yourself in the ground. And this is a bit of a strange picture. I know that you're like self-abasement, so it means taking me and putting myself underground. That's what that means, right? You're like, well, not quite. It's still a form of, it's a kind of pride that I think is important to talk about, even though we don't talk about it in the church very much. For our quote here, we needed someone to do a Peter voice, so probably not as deep as Lucifer. And someone want to read this for me? Yeah. Let's try one more time.
Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.
Okay, yeah, good. So a little context here. This is when Peter first... Oh, right. Hey, A for effort, right?
Fantastic.
Yeah, the context here, this was when Jesus first met Peter. This is in the Gospel of Luke, I think. And he meets Peter, and he's a fisherman. And, you know, in some of the stories, this is where he says, you know, come and I'll make you fisher of men. But before this, the Lord says, put your nets on the other side. And they bring up, like, tons and tons of fish. And Peter immediately knows that this is, like, the Lord or prophet or something. And what's his reaction? Once he realizes this is the Lord, this is someone so much greater than me, his reaction is to say, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. And, Twix? I think that, I contend to you, put forward to you, that it's not so much putting yourself down. If you really think about it, if you really think what this is like, it's saying, I'm so bad that God can't save me. That Jesus, what Jesus did for me, it's not enough for me. And it's diminishing his atonement. And I don't mean that in you're not allowed to think this way. Shame on you for thinking this way. It's just a kind of an eye-opener for me. It's not reflective of like, oh, you're so great, you need to feel better. It's think, God is so great. He really is up there. He's so much greater than we are. And he is a God of miracles. He parted the Red Sea. He can help you repent. He can help you be more consistent. He can help you improve and learn the way you want to. Yeah?
I feel like this is actually really good to talk about. I mean, you're right. No one really talks about it. But a lot of the times people say, oh, I messed up too much.
Yeah.
I'm too far gone. I'm too sinful. God can't help me anymore. He doesn't want to help me. He won't help me. I'm too far gone, right? That's what this is doing.
Yeah.
That's saying that God's not powerful enough to save all of us. And
exactly.
He's very powerful, and he can help you no matter how much you've messed up.
It doesn't matter how many times you've messed up. It doesn't matter how far you've gone. It doesn't matter whether or not you've met with the bishop and you're not happy with your progress. The Lord is a God of miracles, and he can help you become who you want to be. Yeah?
So this kind of connects back to the Saturday evening session, I think it was. One of the guys, I don't remember who, but he was talking about a kid named Danny who had started drinking a lot. So that's like a perfect example of this. Except that he got better. He had a happy ending.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And there's always a happy ending if we, like, if we don't do what Peter, what his reaction was. Because we know Peter, that was not the end of his story. Right? That was the beginning of Peter's story. He said, depart from me, O Lord. But he turned around and he instead accepted God into his life. Yeah.
So Peter probably thought, like, because of how the rules work, like if we are like rules are so rules that basically like if you don't do everything perfectly and you are a sinner and you are not worth being a
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's That's good. It's like a reflection that he didn't have a good understanding of what the plan was. Right? We a lot of times we talk about, one of my favorite quotes is that repentance is not plan B. Right? Repentance is plan A. The plan of God is for us to come down here and to fail. I mean, maybe less spectacularly than you might want. Maybe you fail a little more spectacularly than you want to, but the plan, nonetheless, is to fail to some degree to another. We will all fall short, and it is up to our Savior to redeem us. Let's just go to the next one. Twix? Okay. Superiority complex. We are now talking about our neighbor. And this is one that I think we all encounter more often than we'd like to admit. So can I have a reader? We need a Pharisee voice. Nobody?
I can do it.
Oh, he was a little quicker, sorry.
God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, or even as this publican.
All right, thanks. Does anyone know the context of this scripture? Yeah.
It's a parable Jesus is giving about how a publican and a Pharisee go up to pray, and he's like, oh, I'm so great, thank you so much. And the publican's like, I'm a weak man, but through you I can be helped.
Yes.
The Pharisee's like, I'm so glad I'm not that guy over there.
Yeah, this is honestly one of my favorite parables, because it's just so, like, to borrow a vocab word from my younger brother, it's so savage, where he, like... This Pharisee is literally praying in the temple, and he's like, thank you, God, that I'm way better than this dude. and the publican says, Lord, forgive me, a sinner. That's what he says. That's what his prayer is. We have a hand up back there. Don't worry about the mote in your brother's eye when you have, you know, a beam in your own. Sorry, I just don't trust my throwing skills anymore, so I just kind of walk it back every time. Oh, what was that?
Can you miss giving to the kid?
Oh, okay. Right here. Yes, thank you. Man, we are going through these pretty quick. Excellent. All right, Twix. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Say that a little louder.
It's like general relativity and special relativity.
Yes, I'm so amazed that someone picked up on this. So I had to throw in physics references wherever I can. I like to call one of them general superiority and the other one special superiority, because in physics there's special relativity, which Einstein thought of first, which is basically just saying when things go really fast, the physics totally changes. But then the more he thought about it and the more he worked, it actually took him another 20 years. No one talks about that part. He finally solved what he called the general theory, which expands to much more than just things going fast. It explains the movement of the planets and things like that. So similarly, we have general superiority, which you can probably guess means to borrow my brother's language, my younger brother's language, I'm just built different. That's what he says. I'm just built different, and I'm just better than everyone else. I mean, he doesn't say that part, but he usually uses it when he's playing, you know, League of Legends or something like that. Whereas special superiority is very specific. I am better than so and so, and maybe you don't say it quite like that, but your actions show it, and your way of thinking shows it. Just a general comment to everything we've been doing. There is no, like, answer. This is not one where, like, when it comes to pride and humility, it's really a mindset. So a lot of times, if you have the correct mindset, whatever ideas you have fall into that mindset of just remembering that God is amazing and your brothers and sisters are the same as you, that's the right answer. It doesn't, you know, it's not necessarily a prescribed action. It's not like the doctor says, you know, gives you a prescription. If you do this and say this prayer and forgive so-and-so in this exact manner, that's being humble. It's all about the way you're thinking and the way your mindset is. I think I saw a hand. No? No. Okay. So we can just do a quick little case study. Let's do your inner voice. Okay? Your inner voice says, how could you get 50th percentile on that test? You're smarter than most of these kids in your class. Now, granted, like maybe it's a state thing. Like, you're definitely smarter than half the kids in the state. How could you get 50th percentile on this test? How would you respond to that, inner voice in your head? Yeah.
Everyone has different skill sets.
Test is rigged.
Well, your response might be, I would never get 50th percentile, Nate. What are you talking about? It's exactly the wrong mentality. No, just kidding. So, oh, yeah, go ahead. Oh, entrepreneurship, uh-huh. There's three people, guys. Yeah, getting back up again. I love that. It's not about whether you fall. It's about how quickly you bounce back up, right? And a couple of your comments touch on this, that like something like a test, as in everything in life, it just measures one dimension of who you are. And so even if you don't do as well on a test as someone else, or maybe you do way better on a test than everyone else, that doesn't mean that you are inherently smarter. I hate the word smarter because it reduces everyone's brain to a single word, when everyone's brain like is so different, and some people are stronger at so many different things. And so just because you outperform someone else on a math exam does not make you smarter. It makes you better at that math exam. And if you think of it that way, I mean, you know, it sounds like I'm just trying to be like, you know, it's very easy to be like, oh, he's just being, you know, politically correct, or he's just like thinking about his words as if it's going to change anything. But when you think about it that way, if you actually try to change the way you think in that way, you will treat people with more kindness and with more respect. Yeah. Yes. So you're still working on self-improvement, but you're not comparing yourself to other people, for example.
But you still have to compare. You still have to make sure you're not.
That's true. Patience. Let's see. How are we on time? How about the last one? I'm not going to go talk to her. If she wants to apologize, then she can come and talk to me. This is like a very common example of pride. You know, a common response to this might be, you need to swallow your pride. But so what's going on here? Yeah.
Well, I think in this sense, you know, it's interesting because he's setting expectations for this person, mm-hmm, when he's not willing to live up
to those same expectations.
I think that's,
so there's an asymmetry there.
Yeah, and I think that's how pride works sometimes, in the sense that we're not willing to, I mean, in the most simplest term, be humble enough to go and, you know, do something normal.
To do what we expect the other person to do, really. Like, and you hit the nail on the head. There's an asymmetry there. Why? Because we think we're better than that. Like, they can come and talk to us. You know, they're the one that did something wrong. Therefore, they're less than, and they should come talk to me. They should have the shame to do that. But I'm better than that, right? That's when you get to that, when you follow your train of reasoning and the end result is I'm better than that, you know you kind of went the wrong way. Yeah.
And it's kind of like, she can come serve me if she...
Yes, yeah. Let her come on bended knee and beg for my forgiveness. And it's like, oh my goodness, please. You know, like, shake him, be like, oh my gosh, listen to yourself.
Not even surprised that she wouldn't.
Yeah, unbelievable. Yeah, right next to him.
I'm better than her, so she has to do all the work.
Yes, that is perfectly sums up what we're avoiding. True, micromanaging. Yes.
I find that when I am fully wanting and expecting an apology,
yeah,
I find that oftentimes I owe an apology.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Usually you both have, you know, usually it's not just one person completely in the wrong, like when there's an argument. And usually most people, I mean, it's kind of in the scriptures, like they harden their hearts. This person is clearly hardened to their hearts. Now, what's the best thing to soften someone's heart is to show humility and to say, to go, to be the one, instead of expecting them to do it, to be the one to go and do it and say, hey, I'm really sorry. I spoke really sharply to you. Chloe and I do this all the time. It's not like we're arguing every day. But like, even, I don't care how happily you're married, like there will be disagreements. And sometimes you're tired and you're hungry and they just put a third thing on your plate and you say something a little ruder than you meant to. And just saying that, say, hey, Chloe, I'm really sorry I said that a little sharper than I wanted to, and I'm really sorry about that. That was rude. And then a lot of times, what does she say right back? She says, yeah, I spoke kind of unkindly too, or I shouldn't have expected that. Yeah.
So usually, in a rare circumstance, but usually it takes two to tango. So usually both sides, a lot of us do not like to do this.
I had like say 95% of time or more.
Yeah.
There, both sides have one or more things to apologize.
Yes.
And
yeah.
In my experience, not always, but
yeah, not always, but
apologize to them first.
Uh-huh.
Even if what you did was, you think, oh, it was right, so I don't think about it. Even if you know, if they didn't like it, you know, I'm sorry that affected you. You didn't like that. Then they will, you know, in the moment they might be still a little bitter, but they will have a change of heart.
Mm-hmm.
Again, usually, sometimes they'll, you know, if I just stay bitter, but sometimes they'll go, oh, he's actually sorry about this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can't control their actions. So, you know, sometimes you apologize to someone and they're like, I don't forgive you. You know, forget you. And what are you supposed to do then? I mean, Jesus said, turn the other cheek. But the thing is, you're not going to be able to control everything. And so you just do your best. And hope that in the long run, you know, at the end of the day, you can't change someone's hearts. Only God can do that. And so you just kind of have to pray and say, you know, Lord, thy will be done.
If you do your part, then God can do it.
Yeah. We're going to move on to the next one. Okay. Inferiority complex. This is obviously very similar, but the reverse. So I need a reader to do 11 voices at once because we're doing Joseph's brothers. Oh, can we get 11 people?
Let's do it.
Okay, raise your hand. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Okay, if I pointed at you, I don't care if we get 11. Everyone who raised their hand, just say this. 3, 2, 1, go.
Shout
go. Stop. We're going to go 3, 2, 1, go, and then we go. Okay. 3, 2, 1, go. Oh my gosh, I thought I was talking. No, I was like, I am legion for we are many. That was terrifying. Holy cow. Okay, next slide. Sorry, Twix. Okay, so this is the same thing. It comes from a place of comparison, and a lot of times it leads to, you know, feelings of inferiority. And there's the classic story of Mary and Martha, which, you know, I've heard different takes on the story of Mary and Martha, but my favorite interpretation is just the fact that comparison should be avoided. You know, some people are like, well, Jesus told Martha that she shouldn't be worrying about these things and she should be more like Mary, which is just sitting there and not helping at all. And it's like, well, I think what Jesus is really saying is, like, look at Mary, she's doing a good thing too. And you don't have to, like, think that Mary is doing something worse just because she's doing something different. So that's the way I like to think about the story of Mary and Martha. I think it can lead to feelings of shame, but it can also lead to feelings of hatred. A lot of times, you know, there's lots of examples where people don't like people who are successful because they assume the worst about them. Like they had to do bad things in order to be as rich as they are, or they had to. You know, it can lead to conclusions just based on really superficial information on people like that. Role play or case study. I'm Donovan, and I say, none of the girls would say yes if I asked them to dance. I'm at the dance. And they said, even if they did, it would just be out of pity because they feel bad for me. And you're Donovan's friend. What would you say to him? Say it again.
If you haven't tried asking them and you're just preemptively like knocking yourself out, like none of them will ask me, like at least try.
Yeah.
Because someone might dance with you, but then if you ask them, they all say no, well, then there you go. That's their problem, not yours.
Hey, I love that. I love that.
You're not putting yourself lower if you are that low, so
yeah.
Try it out.
Girls actually like being danced with.
It's very sad
when
you see a guy who doesn't ask you and a little bit offensive too. So
there you go. Just put yourself in their shoes. Here, one for you.
We're offended if we ask you and you say no. I've never.
Ready? One for you. Oh. Yes.
You miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Wayne Gretzky. I love it.
You are taking chances on something which might not happen. Basically,
he doesn't know that would, they would even say no.
Yeah.
And then he doesn't even know their motivations behind that.
For both of you. Yeah, yeah. Like, he doesn't know the motivations, and kind of you miss all the shots. You know, you're deciding for them, right? Chloe, you had a really good take on this at the dating panel. Do you want to share this? Your thoughts on this?
Can you jog my memory?
The question instead of dancing was about what if they say no?
Date, like,
about
a pity date.
Yeah. How do I? Yeah.
So the question someone asked us was if. Like, what do you do if someone asks you on a date and you're pretty winded out of pity? And I said, who cares? You're a cat. It doesn't matter. Let's say you have a suspicion that there's a group date and you're only invited because the person needs a date. Well, just show them wrong. Show them how great you are. That just if you... I have a little take on the pride humility thing, too, is that I think too often we're like, oh, it was nothing. Or, like, if someone comments you, you're like... oh, it's no big deal. It was like, I didn't even do that well. No, take pride in what you did because God was there for you, and you're taking pride in what God has helped you with. And so I would say to Donovan, like, so what if someone says no? I'm sure you're a catch. Like, go.
I am a catch.
Else.
Yeah.
You are a catch.
He's convinced. You've convinced Donovan. Good job. No, but yeah, go ahead.
It was that quote that somebody else shared, like, some will, some won't.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Some will, some won't, so what? Some will, some won't. And I love, like, obviously Donovan has some feelings about himself. I mean, like, this is not coming from a happy place. And I think Donovan, you know, you have to think about how to say this. I'm not saying this is the way you should say it, but just blanket statement, I think Donovan needs to do some digging and think about what his value is. And if it's, like, if a girl says no, does that affect his value? And the answer should be no. But of course it does a little bit. Yeah.
I think I heard that once in relationships where you should, like, of course it's like when you're in love with somebody, like, you kind of, like, center the world around them, but don't base your confidence based on whether or not, like, they seem to care about you. Because
yes.
People are people, and someday they might, like, get a pity or say something wrong, and then if your self-confidence shatters, like, oh my gosh, they must hate me, or, like, they said something mean to me, I must be a terrible person, then, like,
yeah,
it's not a good thing to base your confidence over whether or not people like you.
Absolutely. And honestly, if I'm being frank with you guys for a minute, there's, like, nothing, how do I say this? There's, like, nothing more attractive than self-confidence. And the vice versa, if they feel, it's almost emotionally manipulative when someone's like, if you maybe don't give them as much attention as possible and they react by, you know, oh, you didn't do this, and trying to guilt them, like, that's, nothing's less attractive. And so, like, it's so important to stay close to God, because the closer you are with God, the more you will be convinced of your own self-worth. And that will just flow out towards others. Because once you see yourself as a child of God, you'll see everyone else as a child of God. Twix. Us versus them mentality. This is very similar to superiority complex, except there's one difference. It's not I, it's we. And it's not so-and-so, it's them. And this is probably the most common of them all, especially in today's information age. I can replace us versus them with so many things, and it's not even funny.
Sixers versus Celtics,
Phillies versus Mets, and they're not all Philadelphia sports team rivalries, I promise. What was that? UNC and Duke. No. So there's sports, politics. Are you kidding me? It literally, these days, it's scary how much we hate our political enemies when they are, in fact, children of God, just like we are. Chocolate versus fruit flavored candy. I didn't realize I was raising a lot of divisiveness.
I love the Zoramite story.
All right. We need Zoramites. Maybe a little less creepy than last time, but I'll take some volunteers. One, two, I'm not going to count. If you raised your hand, get ready, and we're going to go after go. What? This is important. It's like rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Like, you've got to do it at the same time. Three, two, one, go.
Holy God, we believe that thou hast separated us from our brethren. We thank thee, O God, that we are a chosen and a holy people.
I feel like this is like sacrilege. Like, the fact that I just convinced a bunch of youth to, like, all say that at once. This is not good. But this is, like, laughable. Whenever I read these scriptures, thank you, in the Book of Mormon, I always, like, it's almost laughable But at the same time, it's not that far off from our mentality sometimes in terms of groupthink.
Question.
Yes.
How did they all manage to say the exact same thing at the exact same time?
Well, that's true. Actually, in this actual story, it was a scripted prayer, and they would go up one at a time. So actually, that was ahistorical, what it just did.
We should have all been in, like, a...
Yes, we should have had built a ramyumtum. No.
Like a giant tower in the middle where they had the pulpit.
Exactly.
Yep, they just crazy
facts. All right, we are short on time, so we're going to flip roles here. Normally, I give you examples, and you... we actually already gone over some examples. So I want you to think of a scenario, a case study. Come up with a name. So-and-so thinks... Yeah.
Someone, the member of the church, thinks that they're better than a lot of people at their school because they're so righteous and they keep the commandments and everyone else has lesser standards.
Okay, I love it. Holier than thou as a church. What do we got?
Homeschoolers are better than public schools.
Homeschoolers are better than public schools. All right, I need some responses. Oh, I guess I can respond. You guys are asking me. I think these are both super important. I don't think there's anything wrong with comparing things and saying, you know what, this is better for my family. So if you think homeschooling is best for your children, that's great. But just make sure that your mentality is that we are the same and we chose different strategies and not we are better than them. Yeah. Left versus right. Politically. Yeah, okay. There is so much more. I would say my response to, wait, what's their name? I need a name. This is a scenario, you know, Donovan, Jacob, who says this?
Oh, yelled about.
What's your name?
My name's Henry.
Henry. I would say, Henry, there is so much more in common. People have so much more in common, politically speaking, than they realize. And there are a lot of, I would say, leaders, political leaders, that their whole thing is to, like, convince us to hate each other. But if we all got in a room and talked about, like, what we really want, we would find there's a lot of similar wants, and some of the strategies are a little different. Real quick, and we're going to wrap it up.
Here's one thing that I see a lot. So a lot of people want, like, similar goals, but very different ways to get
them. Yeah, yeah. But once you recognize that, you stop seeing them as an enemy and just someone who has a difference of opinion. Next slide. All right, we're going to skip that verse. Well, I'll paraphrase it. Hillman 335 basically says that when we give our hearts to God completely, then we will grow and grow in humility and faith until our hearts are perfected. And so that's what I encourage all of us to do. Try to look at your heart and say, how can I give it to God and be like the perfect example of humility, which is our Savior Jesus Christ, who said, not what I will, but what thy will be done. And he loves us so much that he said that we are engraven on his hands and on his feet. So if you ever have feelings where you think to yourself, I hate them or I hate myself, recognize that Jesus Christ loved you so much and he said, you're worth this. I suffered more than anyone has ever suffered because you're worth it. And Heavenly Father loves you, and I say all that. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this record. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.